Now, we still have Kurt Lindauer on the line in the South Sudanese capital, Juba, and let's look beyond these festivities and take a look at the challenges this nation faces. We were already alluding to that before, the relationships with the North, but also things like governance and finance. Let's pick governance first, Kurt. Who are South Sudan's leaders? And I think the big question really is, are they any better than the ones they're saying goodbye to now in Khartoum?
What Ilana also mentioned in her piece on the national anthem, the choice between warriors and patriots. It became patriots in the national anthem. But it can't hide the fact that there is a monopoly on power in this country, and that monopoly is by the former rebel movement, the SPLM. In government, in parliament, what they decide is absolutely the end of the discussion. An example is the new constitution, which has been written in the last few days. Last night at 12 o'clock, it was finally adopted by the parliament. And although Southern Sudan is a federal democratic state, there are huge powers for President Salva Kiir. There is a lot of criticism that not enough discussion is taking place on the political field. That same thing you can find on the economic side. The corruption is incredible in Southern Sudan. You can say, well, it is understandable after a long war, and there's a lack of professionalism, but the amount of hammers driving around here in the capital, Juba, is disgusting. It's disgusting, and I'm not saying that myself, but I hear that from many critical SPLM officials. So that is one of the major problems.
Is that basically a classic scenario of a long-standing rebel or war movement, war effort, turning into a de facto one-party state then?
That is the fear. I've heard people saying here, we fought for democracy and we are going to get military dictatorship. Whether it will happen or not, I can't predict it. But the signs, especially of the last few months since the referendum, are not very positive in that sense.
Let's turn briefly to the economy, because one way or another, this is a new nation state. There is very little in place in the way of infrastructure, let alone a whole new government that needs to be built up. Where on earth is the money going to come from?
Well, there is. I don't think this new nation will have lack of money. There is a lot of money coming from the oil exploration, especially Western countries are very sympathetic, have also pledged billions of dollars. That is the capacity to build up institutions all over the country. We now have a few tarmac roads here in Juba, but as soon as you go out, you end up in a dust bowl. That will be the challenge. And then, of course, what are you going to emphasize? I mean, the usual ideology is you start with subsistence farming and then you make the jump into commercial farming. In this country, there is no subsistence farming anymore. Intercommunal relations have been destroyed by the war. A whole generation of people went fighting. They don't want to go back to farming anymore. So I don't think there's any comparison in the world. Mozambique, Liberia, Haiti, which has to start from below scratch. And whatever criticism you have on these rulers, whatever sympathy you have to understand that it is a near impossible task to build up an economy in this place.
Kurt Lindauer, our correspondent for East Africa in Juba, South Sudan. Thank you very much indeed. Now, between 1955 and 2005, North and South Sudan fought two enormously costly wars. Costly in terms of lost lives, more than 2 million. Costly in terms of disrupted lives, especially those of children. Comte Calais fought in the last war between the North and the South, and he lived in the Netherlands for 10 years. Now, however, he's going back to South Sudan, and Miriam van der Berg spoke with him.
I should have died, let me put it this way, in my previous life as child soldier. kept alive. I think it is my turn now to do something. I think the people in Netherlands welcome me in Netherlands, give me everything I needed, hoping that I will go back and do something. And this is the time for me. That is what I think the best help that I could get in Netherlands.
When we came or whether we go, it's true to us, it's a human life. Our lives, what came by fate. I wonder if what I think is, yeah.
There is understanding by the young generation that they are the one to keep this country running. And therefore, it is for me a task. I do find it as my duty to keep pushing, even though no one is in need of me to help build the country. I think it is for my own best interest to participate on it, despite the difficulties, and be proud of the result that you will book.
When the war in the Southern Sudan broke out, I was among the victims of the rebellion at the age of 8 to 14. In the front line, we fight with the enemy.
But how can you run a stable country with a good social system and a good legal system if half of the people who are with the authorities or with the government have only known war?
Well, with a lot of training, with a lot of extra work, because people have to be trained and shows how the system can work, and there must be a hope that these people who have been fighting for all these years and therefore lack the experience of how to run the country can change. And they are doing their best already. Thank God, many young people are now abroad in diasporas in Western world. And I do call upon them to come back. At least that's the place that you can leave something behind in the world.
And what can you do in South Sudan?
A lot. I have to run for the project that I'm running, the building and the construction of secondary school. I have to run for my law firm because there's a lot of people that I need to stand by, giving them the legal aid. And then there come a time that I have to run to university to go and lecture.
The hand of the world.
I talk about my past because I know these children somewhere in the bush who lose now the sense of humanity, who have no any value of what humanity could be, can also transform themselves back to the people of who Conakry today is.
The views of Conakry, a former child soldier and now a lawyer and a university lecturer in South Sudan. And the music you heard was by another former child soldier, now a peace activist, and his name is Lam Tungwar. Now, South Sudan, and indeed all of Sudan, have a large diaspora living all over the world. And here in the Netherlands, the South Sudanese are planning a big independence party. So how is the mood here in the Netherlands? On the line from Voorburg, near The Hague, Florence Aarte Andrew of the South Sudanese Women's Association in the Netherlands. And I think you're on the line now.
Yes, I'm on the line.
Florence, what's happening this coming Saturday?
The Southern Sudanese community in the Netherlands, plus the friends of Sudanese or Southern Sudanese, will gather together at the Morgenstar Church in Den Haag just to come and remember this historic event, momentous event, and also remember the lives which have been lost, and to thank our great leader, Salva Kiir, who has brought us through all this struggle after our hero, Dr. John Garang, died. So basically, we're just coming together to say thank you to our fallen heroes. Thank you to the international community who supported us in one way or the other. And also to remember those who lost their lives to bring us this happiness on the 9th of July.
Now, obviously, there is a cause for celebration on the 9th of July, but the start of the country is not going to be very, very easy. How hopeful are you about the future of South Sudan?
Well, I would say that, you know, when you are in charge of your destiny, no obstacle will be too great to overcome. We are so aware that there's going to be so much expectation on the new state. And being independent is not automatically freedom from all our ills, from all the struggles, from all the poverty, from all the struggles.
Now, we just heard the views of a former child soldier also living in the Netherlands, Konkele, who said he's going back to South Sudan. There are probably others who are going back to South Sudan as well. What are your own plans, Florence?
Well, I think I would be kidding if I said that on Sunday after the 9th, I will pack my suitcase and go back to the Sudan. Yes, I would like to go back to the Sudan. But it's not going to be so immediately. Why? Because I have projects that I have started before the peace and after the peace, and I would love to see them go through. Second is because of my health problems. If I really want to go back to Sudan and die faster, then I should leave. If I still want to stay longer to get my life prolonged, I'll stay here. But doesn't mean that I don't want to go back to Sudan, and I think desperate people has also a lot to contribute outside the country. So I don't have immediate plans to go to the country yet.